Now, I just want you guys to know that the Spirit has to be moving today. And it's just so evident if you're maybe not familiar with what the Spirit does and just the way that He can move in a service. Listen, I could probably just set this mic down and we could all leave, because what Larissa shared through the Spirit is essentially 70% of what this message is going to be about. She had no idea unless she hacked my personal computer. That's the only way she would know. But it's not that she knew. It's that the Holy Spirit wants to speak something today through her, through the worship team. Can we give a hand clap for the worship team? But today, I just pray that God would speak to you in a way that you need to hear it this morning. So before we do that, I do want to recognize the fact that tomorrow we are going to celebrate Memorial Day. And what Memorial Day means: Memorial Day is a day that we recognize and give honor to the people that have served our country and that have lost their lives for serving our country. And, you know, just think about it, what they did, that they put their life on the line so that you and I can have the freedoms that we do here today. And they deserve our honor that we give them today. And also, too, I don't want to forget about anyone that is currently serving for us, or even veterans. So if you are here today and you've served in the Army or the military, and you are a veteran of the military, I just ask, could you please stand up for me? Thank you all for what you are doing or what you have done. But let's just pray for them real quick. Also pray for just families that have had a lost loved one in the military. But if we could just stretch our hands out to them. Lord God, we just thank you for just where we are in the United States, Lord God, and that we have the things that we do, Lord God, but Lord, the freedoms that we have to be able to serve you and to do the things of your kingdom, Lord God, are because of the people that put their life on the line for us, Lord God, and serve in the military, Lord. So today, we give honor to those that have gone before us and served so that we can have freedom, but also the men and women that are here today, Lord God, that have put their life on the line and their commitment to this country so that we can remain and have the freedoms that we do, Lord God. So, Lord, we thank you for them, Lord. We ask for blessing upon their life, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you again for your service. And listen, I hope we all have a great, enjoyable Memorial Day. I think I can already smell the hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill, so I'm excited about that. But we are going to jump into our message that we have for today, and it does relate to Memorial Day and what we celebrate. And I have two grandfathers that served in the Army, and you know, I don't really know what it was, because I didn't have that experience. I didn't serve in the military. So you know how we inherit things from our family members, courage, that type of courage that they had to go and to serve the military. I guess that was just something that didn't get passed down to me. I didn't inherit it, because there's really two things that I think about when I think about them serving in the military. Is first, you know, how courageous they were. But then second was, what was it like? I don't know what it was like, because I didn't serve. I don't have that experience. And yes, they can share stories with me and tell me about what they did and the things that they saw and everything like that. And I do have several friends that served in the military as well. And you know, they shared stories, but it's still not the experience. I can get close to what it might have felt like or what it was like, but I never can really know that true feeling to serve the country. And my grandfather on my mom's side, Pap Schrank, he had this saying, and he always said, stay in the battle. And, you know, I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it originated from, but that's just always what he said. If you were with him and you were leaving, you know, you were saying goodbye, he would say, hey, stay in the battle. Love you. You know, or if you were on the phone with him, he'd say, hey, stay in the battle. And so, as I'm not in the military, if it was a military thing that he got, that's where he got it from, or I don't know if it was something that he just came up with or whatever. Whatever it was, I really couldn't relate to it in the literal sense of stay in the battle, because I didn't serve in the military. But what he was really meaning by saying that was that we all experience battles and things in life that we're going through that we need to stay in it. We need to stay in the battle. And so in my young days, I don't think it really meant much to me because I didn't realize what battles were in life. You know, as an 18 to 20-something year old, what cares do you really have in the world other than the fact that I had an 8 a.m. class on a Tuesday morning for college, right? Like, that was the only care that I really had. So I don't think that it meant much to me. But today, and even just in the last few years, just of things in life, I think that I've realized and recognized truly what that meant or what that means to me because of the battles and the struggles that I face daily. You know, and we all face things daily. In our daily lives, we have battles that we have. In our family, there's battles. In the church, there's battles, right? And even in our country, we see it every day, the battles that are going on in the country. So today, we are going to take a look in Scripture about Gideon. He was a man in the Bible that had to stay in the battle. And we're going to walk through his story. So if you would turn to Judges chapter 6, because that's where his story begins, right? And Gideon was a judge, and he was a very big deal, if you will, when it comes to the judges, because there was two chapters, essentially a little over two chapters designated to Gideon. And we're not going to read word for word the whole story. So I will paraphrase and summarize some parts, but we're going to take a look at Gideon and how he stayed in the battle. And really, it's a story about God, what God placed on Gideon's life, the command that he placed on Gideon's life, and the obedience that Gideon shows to his commands. Larissa, are those some words that you said? Obedience, calls, right? See, that's what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit speaking that already. But anyways, we're going to start in verse 1 in chapter 6 of Judges, where it says, "The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. So the Israelites, they were doing their thing. Things were good, right? Things were okay. They were doing all right. But they fell back into their old ways. They fell back into the worshiping of a God that wasn't our God. And Baal was the God that they were worshiping, and he was the God of fertility. So fertility in this sense was speaking to their crops, right? So everything that they were planting and growing, they were praying to him, asking him to make sure that it was prosperous, that they would get these crops, right? And that they would then be able to consume them themselves, but then also they would feed it to their livestock because they were raising livestock. So all of this, that was what they were doing. Obviously, this didn't please God. We're not called to serve those gods. We're called to serve our God. Amen. And to give praise to our God. So God wasn't pleased with this. So continuing in verse 2, it says, "The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites had made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in their land and destroying crops as far as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all their sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. These enemy hordes coming in with livestock and tents were thick as locusts. They arrived on droves of camels, too numerous to count, and they stayed until the land was bare." So as we can see from this scripture, the Midianites, they were cruel. They were a people that just went in and they destroyed everything and they wouldn't stop until it was all gone. So we can see that the battle that they're facing as the Israelites have to deal with this, you know, and there's nothing that they can do because there's so many of these Midianites that they're just overpowered. They're overrun. There is literally nothing that they can do. They won't stop until there's nothing left. How devastating is this to the Israelites? This is devastating because their livelihood, what they eat, their cattle, it was all being taken, and they can't do anything to stop it. It's so devastating. So what do they do? Where do they go from here, right? So verse 6, it says, "So Israel was reduced to starvation," obviously, because they destroyed everything, "by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord God, or to the Lord for help, even after all the apostasy, abandoning God and basically unbelief in God and moving back to the gods of fertility and all the other things that they would, all the other gods that they would believe in, right? They went back to God. My thing would be, where's your God of fertility now, right? If he's so good, where is he now? And we're going to hear more about that, right? And some of you might be thinking, hey, why would God allow this to happen? Why would he let this, why would he hand them over to the Midianites and allow this to happen to them? And really, it's not God allowing it to happen to them. It was really their sin that they were doing put them in that place of oppression by the Midianites. But it's God's love and mercy that when he steps in and he allows them to come back to him, right? That's his love and mercy is being shown then in that way. Because of their sin, they fell into that oppression, and he loves and is merciful still to them, right? That they're able to come back. Imagine how much worse it would have been if God never got involved, right? We're going to hear about how he does. So then after that happens, after they cry out to God, God reminds them what he's done for them. When they cried out, we're looking in verse 7, when they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all that oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship gods of the Amorites in whose land you live now. But you have not listened to me. So he's telling them, this is what I did for you, and now here's what you're doing for me. You're not listening to what I asked for you to do, right? And so now, this is where they're at. This is where they sit. So what happens next? Well, I'm going to summarize a little bit. An angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, and they say, Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. I come from the Lord, right? And Gideon doesn't believe it. He questions it because he's like, well, if I'm a mighty warrior, why is this happening to me? Why is this what my life is right now? And basically God tells him, hey, you're going to save Israel. You're going to go out and you're going to save and you're going to restore them and strengthen them. And Gideon still doesn't believe it because he said, I'm too weak. We don't have enough people. There's no way. I'm the last in my family. This isn't going to happen. Gideon felt insignificant. He felt that he was not able to do the task that the Lord had called him to do. But then this is what the Lord said to him. The Lord said to him in verse 16, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. So Gideon was right. He couldn't do it on his own, but with God's strength, he could defeat them. And it's going to get even more interesting as we go on. But he could defeat them. So then in 17, Gideon replies, if you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is really the Lord speaking. And then Gideon says, don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you. So Gideon, he runs out and he goes and he gets goat meat, unleavened bread, and some broth. And he comes back. And the angel of the Lord tells him to place the bread and the meat on the rock and pour the broth over top of it. And when he does that, fire flares from the rock and consumes the bread and the meat. So at that point, Gideon realizes, okay, this is God. This is God telling me that this is what's going to happen. So at this point, he's all in. He asked for proof and he got it, right? He asked for this proof and boom, God gives it to him. So Gideon realizes it, and now this is Gideon's active duty. This is Gideon's active duty, and active duty defined in the military is that a soldier is full-time for the duration of their service commitment. And in the military, correct me if I'm wrong, military guys, a service time could be 2 years to 6 years, right? And, you know, you have options to re-enlist. There's a service commitment that does have an end for that, right? But as we as Christians, we can relate to Gideon in this aspect. Because again, we have issues and conflicts going on just like Gideon did at this point in time, right? We're dealing with maybe marriage issues or loss of loved ones or our sin habits, addictions, maybe some family problems or mental health issues, financial or legal problems. We're all dealing with something. Some of us might have checked all 8 of those off the box, right? Right? We're dealing with things just like Gideon was dealing with it. We quickly get caught up in those things. We quickly forget about what God has done for us and who God is, just like the Israelites did when they forgot about what God had done for them and they started chasing after these other gods. But then God finds a way to remind them. And then at that point, Gideon had been activated by God to save Israel from the Midianites. When we made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the forgiver of our past and the leader into our future, we were activated by God to serve His kingdom army. Amen. That was our activation point, our active duty, our commitment to the kingdom, our service commitment. We're called to serve others. We're called to show others who God is through what we do to them, right? To show them the things that He's done for our lives, the things that He's done for other people, and again, what the scriptures say of who God is. We're called to do that because the people that, you know, that we see and that we walk around, they're suffering from oppression of something. There's anxiety, there's depression, there's all these things that people are caught up in and stuck in, and they can't get out because they don't know the hope that they have in Jesus Christ. But it's us as active duty military members in the kingdom of God to serve in a way that we would be able to show them who God is for them, right? And we don't, like the military, have a 2 to 6 year period, right? Our service commitment is our entire earthly life, amen? From the day that we committed Jesus as our leader and forgiver of our sins, that's our active duty until the day that we go to see Him again. Amen. But the question is, are we really committed to God? Are we really committed to Him? Because do we always remember what God has done for us, and do we give Him the praise that He deserves? Or are there some times where maybe we take what God has done for us for granted? Meaning that we forget about what He's done, or we know that what He's done, but we don't realize that we need to give praise back in return. And we think because He's so loving, He's just gonna keep giving it and giving it and giving it, and there's nothing that we need to do. It happens, just like what Gideon shows us with the Israelites. That's what happened to them. But Gideon was reminded of what God did for him and how thankful he was. He committed to be obedient to what God was asking him to do and to save Israel. And yes, there was maybe some maybe some selfishness there that, you know, if he did what God said, like obviously he's going to be out of the battle and out of the struggle, right, individually. But more importantly, he put his life on the line for others so that they didn't experience it. So when we are truly committed to the kingdom of God, to the army that we're called to serve in God's army, yes, we are saved from eternal death individually ourselves, right? But we still have to have a desire to see other people saved as well. And that means putting their life in front of ours, putting our life on hold, taking the back seat and putting them first, right? Putting those people first in front of us because we want them to experience what we've been able to experience as well. So we're all called to active duty. We're called to commit to the kingdom. So that's where we are with the story of Gideon, and we're going to move in to the next part. So in verse 25, where we pick up, it says, "That night the Lord said to Gideon, 'Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that is 7 years old. Pull down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar, using as fuel the wood of the Asherah pole to cut down.'" This is where Gideon's mission begins, right? God puts Gideon on his first mission, right? And he did it at night. He gathers up like 10 men to do this because he knew that he had to do it at that time because it was going to cause some chaos. He was going to wake up and other people were going to wake up and there was going to be something to go down at this point, right? And he was exactly right because when people woke up and they saw what Gideon had done, they ran to his father Joash and they said, "He needs to die." They wanted to put him to death because of what he did. But Gideon's father defends him and says, "Hey, if your God is the God that he says he is, then he'll take care of him. We don't need to do anything." And they agreed to that, okay? So at this point in time, Gideon realizes what's at stake. All this tension now, that he has from the people of his town, people that he knew, right, that he walked with and, you know, and did life with. Now he does this thing that God tells him to do, and he knows that they're mad at him and that they want him dead because of this commitment that he made to God. But he knew what he had to do. He knew the calling that he had that God had placed on his life. So this is the first opportunity that he could have backed out, that he could have said, no, I'm not doing this. I don't want to do this. I want to just run and hide. But he knew what? Stay in the battle, right? He had to stay in this battle because God has called him. God was deploying him. Again, using this military term, it means to be moved into position for military action, right? God was moving him into position to take action for the kingdom of God. And so Gideon starts assembling the troops, right? And then, you know, God had to get frustrated with Gideon at some point, because then he asks him two times. He already proves to Gideon that he's there, that the angel of the Lord is from God. Like, he already proves that. Then Gideon asks him for two more times to prove it, you know, that he's going to do what he promised. So God had to be getting frustrated with Gideon, right? So God, again, said, hey, this is what I promised you. Of course I'm going to prove it to you. So he does. He proves it to him. And, you know, we always have to remember that God holds true to the word that he says, right? He makes a promise, and he's going to see it through. You know, in our earthly lives, we might have had promises made to us, and they weren't kept, and they were hurtful. We didn't understand, right? But God makes a promise, and he sees it through. And could it already have been that Gideon just so easily forgot what God had already reminded him? Again, he showed him that, yes, this is God speaking to you. He already showed him that. And could it be that he already easily forgot because of the stuff, the things that Gideon was going through? Did he already forget what was happening? But God shows up in our lives, right? You know, and we're all excited, you know, we're on cloud nine, right? And everything seems to be going well. But then something happens, maybe God asks us to do something that's not comfortable, that's a little bit uncomfortable, or it's something that we don't want to do. And maybe we say, oh, well, that's not God, right? We kind of close the door, we kind of shut it off, okay? And it's us just being afraid of the call that God has placed on our lives. Because here's the thing. When God deployed Gideon, right, there was a calling on his life. God wants to deploy you as well, because he has a calling for your life. God created each and every one of us for a mission. Each of us has a specific mission that he wants to use us for. And he's created us uniquely and differently so that we can do that. An example would be for me. I like to work with my hands. So if someone has a project that they need done, I want to be helpful because I have that desire. It's something that I like to do. One, because I want to bless them. I want to help them out. But two, it gives me an opportunity to show them care, to show them love, to help them out, right? I'm sure if we go through this whole entire sanctuary, we could go through all of your gifts, right? The worship team members, everyone that was up front, they have a musical gift that they get to use as part of their mission from God so that they can lead you into worship. Whatever your craft is, whatever you do, God has used your abilities that he's given to you so that you can accomplish the mission that he has for your life. Because he's intelligently created us that way. It's not a coincidence that we have those gifts inside of us and those desires inside of us to just go to waste. He wants us to use them. But here's the catch. You know, God's calling us. He's deploying us, giving that call that he has for us. But are we really answering the call? Or are we saying, God, I don't think that's really for me. Or I don't think that's something that you want me to do. Maybe that's something that you want someone else to do. But that's not what you have for me. Right? We come up with these excuses, and again, it boils down to the fact that just like Gideon, we feel insignificant. It's not comfortable for us. It's uncomfortable for us to do those things, or we're just flat out fearful that we don't think that God can get us through that or to do that through us. Amen? But remember Gideon. Again, he forgot the promise that God made to the Israelites. He forgot about it. But he went to God and he asked for the sign, and God gives him the sign. And it shows that God was faithful. The story shows that God was faithful. He was faithful then, he's faithful now, and he's going to be faithful in the future. We just need to ask God, what is he calling us to? Or maybe he's already told us, and we just don't want to answer the call. We know what he wants us to do. Just a little story about us. Well, no, long time ago now, I was out of college, and I started coaching elementary and junior high level basketball, loved it, enjoyed it. It was a great opportunity for me to just give back to the community. I really enjoyed it. And I think I was in my second year going into my third year of it, and things with work were getting a little tough. My schedule was a little bit different than normal, and it was really hard for me to keep that commitment to coach. But I knew that God wanted me there, and I knew that that I liked it and it was fun for me and everything. And so I was really struggling and battling back and forth. Do I do it or do I not? And to be honest with you, I think I was leaning more towards not doing it. And so, I was like, well, I got to make this decision. Well, I was here actually. I was standing kind of like right where Wayne was, and there was a ladies' event happening, and I was just an usher there. I wasn't participating, but I was just an usher there. And the main speaker started to move in the prophetic, meaning that, she was getting words from God to give to the ladies that were here, that were present. And, you know, prophetic words are encouragement, right? They build you up. They exhort the Lord, right? An awesome ministry that was happening that evening. And, you know, as I'm standing there, she turns to me and she says, hey, I think I have some words for you. And one of them, there were many that were spot on, spot on. She said, the kids need you. That was all she really said. I don't think she went any further. And so I knew right then and there, that's what God wanted. That's where he had me, right? And so that season, I decided to keep coaching, and I think that was my last one, or maybe one more. But anyways, to this day, I still see parents and kids from those years that I coached. And most recently, I was at the voting polls in Bellevue, and I saw one of the kids that I had coached, and he was all excited. He's like, hey, Coach Doug, still called me Coach Doug, even though I haven't coached him for a long time. And, he was a kid that always just wanted to play the games. He never wanted to practice, never wanted to put the work in. He just wanted to come and play the games. And I wasn't that kind of coach. I wanted you to work hard, one, because that's the way the game is. You have to work hard. But two, I wanted to teach them life through the game of basketball, right? Because we all know that in life we need to work hard and we need to have determination. And that's what you do in basketball. You work hard and you're determined to whatever, score the basket, to guard the defender, whatever the case is, you have that determination. I wanted to teach them what life was. We're having a conversation, he's at the voting pool voting, so obviously it's been several years since I've seen him. He's old enough to vote now, and I just say to him, hey, what are you up to? What have you been doing? And he says, hey, I'm going to be leaving for the Marines soon. And so he's smiling ear to ear, and his mom's standing there, and she's smiling ear to ear. And, I'm just thinking in my head, dude, you hated to run. Like, how are you going to survive in the Marines? I'm just thinking, how is this going to work out? But, I'm smiling, and I'm proud of him because it's an awesome thing that he's doing. And, it was funny to me because of the way that it happened. But as I reflected back, I really think that that moment was that prophetic word coming full circle. And I believe that because that, if it wasn't for me showing him what hard work and determination was at that point in his life could be drastically different today. And I'm not saying that I changed his life by any means. You know, maybe God did. It wasn't me. But I do believe wholeheartedly that there was an influence that I placed on his life. That because what he had gone through, hard work and things that he had to deal with, he's ready and he's actually excited to go to the Marines, right? He's excited about it. I don't know why you would be excited to go through that, but he was. Because of what he was about to encounter, he was ready. But again, I could have easily backed out and said, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Or I could have maybe misinterpreted that word and spoke it for something else, right? Right? So all these different things, I could have backed out. But I knew what? I had to stay in the battle. Even though I had schedule issues and you know, things of life happening, right? I needed to put that aside. Put my stuff and my schedule aside so that I could impact those kids and put their lives in front of my own. Amen? Listen, you might say, oh, wow, that's a really great story. I'm glad that happened to you. He has that for each and every single one of you. He has a story, not exactly the same as mine, but it's very similar for each and every one of you. If we're answering the call that he has, right? If we let him. He wants to use you in mighty ways, just like when he went to Gideon and said that he was a mighty warrior. He wanted to use him in a mighty way. He wants to use each and every one of you in a mighty way. If God has placed on your heart that you want to do a mission trip or there's a ministry that you want to start, whether it's in the church, one that we already have now, or it's something that you feel God has placed on your heart, do it. Stop allowing other things to pull you away. Stop allowing those things to take you away and to hold you back from what God has for you. Because listen, he wanted to move Gideon forward. He wants to move you forward. He wants to move you into position because he's deployed you for the kingdom of God. Amen? He has a calling for your life. Let's jump back to Gideon, though, and we'll talk about how he God fulfills his promise to Gideon. So at this point, Gideon had about 32,000 men. And again, still way less. I think it was like about 150,000 Midianites, if I remember right. Don't quote me on that, but that's just what I think I remember. But then God says he weeds a lot of them out. He weeds about 31,700. So if you're not good with math, that leaves 300 left. So it's Gideon and 300 men to fight against this massive group of people. But Gideon stays in the battle. He realizes, I can't do this. We can't win with only 300 and back out. No, he stays in it. He stays in the battle and they move in. So picking it up in verse 19, it says, it was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly, they blew the ram's horns and broke the clay jars. Then all three groups, because they split in three groups of 100, then all three groups blew their horns and broke the jars, and they held the blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hands, and they all shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Each man stood up at his position around the camp and watched as all the Midianites rushed around in a panic, shouting as they ran to escape. When the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their own sword. Those who were not killed fled to places as far away, and I'm not even going to attempt the names, but they left. They left, right? Either they inflicted pain and killed themselves, or each other, I mean, or they just fled because they didn't understand what was going on, and this was what God did for Gideon. They didn't even have to go into a physical battle. God fulfilled the promise just by them being obedient, right? So now God wants to fulfill the promise that he has for Gideon, just like he wants to fulfill the promises that he has for you. If you have a promise that God has given you, or you're seeking a promise that he is giving you, know that he wants to fulfill it. If it's in the intent that is for kingdom purposes and not of selfish asks, right? You know, there's those things like, I want to hit the lottery. I don't think he's going to do that for us, right? But if it's something that's earnest and sincere, he wants to answer that, or he wants to give you the promise that he desires for you. So that's it. They defeated him. They're out of, you know, this oppression that the Midianites have for them. So what does this mean for Gideon? Where does he go from here? So now that the mission is over, what's next? But the Bible doesn't really say much about what happens next for Gideon. It kind of just says that he moves back to his home and, you know, ends up with a really big family. But my question would be is, like, is that really it? After God used him in such a mighty way, that's it. Like, that's just how his story is. And again, this is just my speculation because the Bible doesn't give us much on it. But, like, I would have to imagine that God continued to still use Gideon in some ways, right? Because Gideon obviously is a man of God at this point. And, you know, he is now back in a town that knows what he did. Like, you know, the obedience and the determination that he had to answer the call that God had for him. So they have to go and ask him, hey, I need advice on this, right? He has to be someone of influence in his town because of this. And he had a family. So he has to raise his family in a God-honoring way. So I do believe that God had to use him in some way. But at this point, I would suggest that he was probably moved into a more of a veteran status, right? More of a vet. Maybe his big battle and all that was over, but he's in this status as a veteran. And, you know, a veteran is someone that has an experience with something, you know, in a particular field, whether it's a veteran of the military or whether it's a veteran, sports player. They've been in the league for a long time. They're considered a veteran because they've been around and they've experienced different things. And we've all experienced different things in our life, whether it's, in our personal lives or whether it's in our faith or our career. We've experienced things. And again, as I mentioned, both of my grandfathers are veterans, and they've experienced things in their military life. And, you know, they love to share stories, and they love to tell you what they saw and the things that they did. And it's not, you know, just because that's what they want to do, but it's for a purpose, right? They want to teach people things. They want people to see things in a different way. There's many times that I could remember conversations where, you know, I might be complaining about something or, you know, not sure what to do about something. And, you know, one of my grandfathers would say, well, you know, when I was in the service, right? That's how it started. You know, when I was in the service. And then they would give you this information or this insight about the experience that they had, because they wanted to give you that knowledge that maybe you didn't have, or to make you see something differently than you were. You know, they would be able to teach you something based on what they experienced. And a funny story about my pap Shear, we were at my sister Jess's college graduation, and we're getting ready to go, and we're all dressed up and everything, and he reaches, grabs me by the pants, and he's shaking my waistband, and I'm like, what's going on, you know? I'm like, what is he doing? And he stops shaking me by my belt buckle. He says, you look like a mess. He's like, your button of your pants and the buttons on your shirt, they don't line up, and your belt buckle isn't straight. It's not all in a line. He's like, this is what you need to do. And he fixed it so that my buttons in my shirt were perfectly in line with the button on my pants, and my belt buckle was straight, right? He didn't want me to look a mess. He didn't want me to look that way, and because that was something they learned in the military. That was what they had to do. They had to be well-kept, right, and in a good order. And to this day, before I leave the house, I make sure that all my buttons are lined up, right, and my belt is right, right? Because it was something that he wanted to show me, something that he knew that I was going to need, because I'm in the business world. You know, I don't do so much anymore, but I wore a suit and tie every day. I needed to come to work prepared that way, and he knew that. So he wanted to share that. But listen, here's the cool thing. As Christians, we're all called to be veterans, right? We, because of the experiences that we had, the different things that God has shown us, he wants us to use that for other people. There's people out there that are going through things maybe similar to what we've gone through, or things maybe that that we can shine light on. And he wants us to use them. He wants to use us to help them, right? Because they don't have maybe the advice that they need. They don't have someone that can speak life into them or encouragement and give them the advice that they need for the time that they're in their life. So what it looks like for a Christian being a veteran is, being a veteran in faith is discipleship. And discipleship is like mentoring, right? Someone that is helping another person. Someone that is helping in some other way. So for any Christians that have been, you know, serving God for a while, mature in the faith, right? You have something to give. God is calling you to give what you know and what you've learned and what you've experienced away to someone else. And if you're new to the faith, if you've recently, you know, gave your life to Christ, you need to find someone that's a veteran in the faith that can speak into your life so that they can help you, because life is going to be hard. You need someone pouring into your life. We need to pour into other people's lives as well, right? We need to show that we want to show love and care for people by the things that we say and the things that we do, right? And we can only do that by having those relationships, to be that veteran sharing our experience with others. So with all that, you know, that's the story of Gideon. That's Gideon's example, right? All coming from the Bible. That's what Gideon did. He was, you know, someone that went into active duty. He allowed God to deploy him, right? And then he goes into this veteran status. Well, at least that's my guess, right? He's such a great example. Gideon is a great example of staying in the battle. So many opportunities that he could have walked away, that he could have stepped back and hid and ran and just got away from it, right? So many opportunities, but he didn't, because he knew that other people needed him. He knew that he needed to stay in the battle. And God wants to do the same thing for us. He wants us to be a mighty warrior just like Gideon was. So how do we stay in the battle? How do we practically do this? And again, we talk about active duty, our commitment to the kingdom, right? But the question there is, because I want to leave you with questions that I want you to sincerely pray about, talk about, ask yourself, ask God, right? Have you committed your life to the kingdom? First and foremost, have you accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and the Savior of your life, right? But also, it just doesn't stop there. Are you committed to putting other people's lives in front of your own for the sake of their life, for their eternal life, right? Are you willing to commit your life to serve the kingdom in that way? And then also, he's calling us to be deployed. We need to answer that call that God's placed on our life, or maybe that he wants to place, but we're not asking the question like Larissa said. What does God want to do next in our life? What does he have for us? So God is calling you. So what is the mission or the ministry that you hear God calling you to? And then lastly, be that veteran. Discipleship. Who are you discipling, or who is discipling you? Because we all need it. We all need it. No matter how mature we are in our faith, we need someone to disciple, and we need someone to disciple us, right? We all need it. So those are the questions that I want to leave you with today. And we need to seriously ask ourselves that, because if we don't, we're going to allow the world to beat us up and to push us down and to just wear us out, right? And what are we going to do? We're going to back up and back out, and we're not going to stay in the battle. And that's not what God's called us to do. He's called us to stay in the battle. Staying in the battle, as I mentioned, what my grandfather was trying to get across was that we have hope. That when we stay in the battle, we have hope. And Jesus Christ is that hope for us. What he's done on the cross for us. So if you're here today and maybe you don't know what that first and most important promise that God gave us, his son Jesus Christ on the cross for us, if you don't know what that means, that we get to have this eternal life because Jesus dying on the cross for us, that he can be the leader of our life and the forgiver of our past, if that's something that you haven't heard of, or you haven't made that decision or that commitment to live a God-honoring life, on your seat there should be a blue card. It's our connection card. And down at the bottom, one of the boxes says, I want to make Jesus the leader of my life and the forgiver of my past. I just ask you to check that off, fill that card out, and take it back to the connection point, because we want to get someone in front of you to share that with you, the promise that God gave in his son, Jesus Christ, but also so that we can pray with you, so that you can make that commitment to become an active military member in God's army, amen? Because again, we don't want to give up. We can't give up. We can't give in and we can't back down. We must stay in the battle. It's imperative with where we are as a society, as a country, as a world, right? We need to make sure that we don't back down and we stay in the battle. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, I just thank you for who you are, Lord God. I thank you that, Lord God, that you have called us to just do the ministry of your kingdom, Lord God, that you haven't made it hard for us to do it, Lord God, but that you have promised us that as we serve you, Lord God, that you will use us in mighty ways, Lord God. And all it takes is our obedience, Lord God. We don't have to be the most powerful or the most significant person, Lord God. We just have to be committed to you, Lord God. We just have to be open and obedient to your calling, Lord God. So Lord, help us to hear your voice, Lord God. Help us to accept your calling, Lord. Lord, help us to be people that want to encourage others, Lord God, that want to continue them on their walk with God, or even start their relationship with the Lord. Lord God, take us to new places today, Lord God. Take us deeper in our walk with you, Lord God, as we commit and we are active military members in your army of the kingdom, Lord God. So Lord, we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Happy Memorial Day. And Wayne's going to come up and give you guys some opportunities that we have coming on.